Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with the professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor, and I tell you what, you talk about great timing. I mean, training camps are now starting. Denver Broncos reporting Wednesday with the full team. And, of course, we get together with Pat Kerwin, who we get together a lot of times on Moving the Chains, and, of course, Moving the Chains on Sirius XM NFL Radio, 12 to 4 West Coast time, 3 to 7 East Coast time. And he's about ready to make the camp tour. And, Pat, what, you get to Seattle, what, the first Sunday in August?
Yes. We're just working our way across the country. We start on the East, obviously. We're here. I'm here anyway.
Yeah.
And Patriots, Bills, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Hall of Fame. Then we swing back towards Baltimore, Washington, then down to Florida. And then from Florida, we head straight to the West Coast out to Seattle and catch, the Raiders as well out there and Houston and the Cardinals, I think. So we remember the days when you could get to every team. But they don't practice enough, and I don't like to do shows when they're not practicing.
Yeah.
So you really see about half the league now. Mm-hmm. That's the way that works.
Yeah, I still remember back, I think it was 2000, I was able to do 31 teams in 28 days, and it was just an absolute blast. Tiring, but you know the key is all the double sessions. You got to hit teams with double sessions if you're going to try to at least do everything in 1 month, but it's fun. What do you look forward to this season? What trends do you see that is going to be very appealing in the 2019 season?
I spent a lot of time this spring on personnel groups. You know, 11 personnel, so for the listeners, that's one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. It's so dominant now in the NFL, and it's been this way for a while. But last year, as an example, there were almost 23,000 plays of 11 personnel, and all the other personnel groups together equaled one half of that. So you ask yourself, why is everyone in it? How are they building the defenses? We're in the middle of looking at secondaries right now, and how important the nickelback is, the dimeback, the subs, a third safety to play big nickel. So I'm intrigued by that, and I think a lot of teams have spent their offseason building up those groups of defense to play the 11 personnel, which they see. It's almost 60. You're going to see 65% of all the snaps. You know, and some of these divisions, you see it 100%, 98%. The Rams, I believe they were like 94% 11 personnel. So you can't, Bill Walsh said this to me once. If you know you're a good team, you got to build your third down defense first because you're going to be in it a lot. And I see the good teams that recognize, hey, we score points, so we better be able to do it because they're going to force these teams into 45, 50 snap plays. That's the first thing. The other thing is, which I was excited about, and I'm going to continue here the rest of this week, is talking to guys not in the Hall of Fame that are worthy of it. We kind of let the listeners direct us towards players like that, and you're a big piece of this. But we had Ken Riley on, Joe Jacoby, Cliff Branch, Henry Ellard. Today we're going to talk to, one of the quarterbacks, Kenny Anderson today. So what I find when I talk to these guys, how the game they played is still a great game, and the perception by a lot of the younger people is that, well, they weren't that fast and stuff. You know, there were a lot of guys that were really fast and really good. And when you think of Henry Ellard catching over almost 14,000 yards from 10 different quarterbacks and over 1,000 yards receiving in 7 seasons, now, I think for the younger people, they always call in after we talk to these guys, and they go, wow, I never knew that about that guy. So that's been fun. But this time of year is coming to an end here as the camp tour starts. But it's been personnel groups and guys that I'd love to see in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know we did that last week, Max Stark and I filling in for you and Chris Miller. And we started just go city by city and saying, okay, what guys do you think should be nominated as seniors? Because they're going to take in 10 seniors this year. And it was fascinating to see, you know, the response. And you know how you do it all the time. And you create a topic and it just explodes.
There's a lot of passion from the fans. I judge everything by, do the phones light up? And, sometimes I talk about things that I think they're just listening, but the phones light up on all those kind of things. So it's been fun for that. I think the second-year quarterbacks, especially in the AFC East, thinking about those guys. And, you know, to me, none of those teams are ready to really challenge the Patriots. But I'm looking for, because there's a lot of pressure, especially in New York. And sooner or later, they'll put Rosen on the field in Miami, and Josh Allen's an interesting guy. But, you know, where are those guys? Where are those young quarterbacks? And can even Baker Mayfield take another step? I know a lot of people thought, well, is he going to be any better than he was last year? I think the guy can be. So I always like looking at second-year quarterbacks. A lot of pressure on them because, as you know better than anybody, John, those defenses that played them, they're not sitting back going, wow, it looks like Baker's going to be pretty good. They're thinking about ways to make their life miserable as sophomore quarterbacks. And so I do like to watch those guys, and I'm going to see a lot of them in the camps.
Put in perspective this number, because let's say that Josh Rosen starts in Miami, Dwayne Haskins starts with the Redskins, and Kyler Murray starts with Arizona. That means there's going to be about 12 quarterbacks in their rookie contracts that are going to be started. And then, of course, you still have Marcus Mariota and you have Jameis Winston that are starting in the fifth year with fifth-year options. I mean, that's an amazing turnaround when you think about it. 12 of the 32 quarterbacks in this league, if those three young guys start, are in their rookie contracts. And what do you think that means overall as far as what teams can do to try to build up their rosters?
Well, I think it's the Seattle model, John. You and I have talked about it before. There are not many real ways to rebuild a franchise. And the best way, and I think Seattle proved it with Russell, is find a young quarterback, start him as a rookie, and hope he's good. And if he's good, then you've got a window of multiple years to get a good football team signed around him. And if you don't do it that way, and you try to go buy the expensive quarterback, maybe like, what's his name, Kirk Cousins, you're going to have to sacrifice players. Eventually, the cap's going to tell you that someone's got to go. So the Seattle model, they built a beautiful football team around Russell, and they're going to do it again. This time he's the rich kid on the block, and they're going to have to, you know, play a lot of young guys. But I do think all those teams are just hoping that these quarterbacks, and they put them on the field early, and there's no waiting anymore. I mean, the idea of waiting, the Josh Rosen one maybe is the most interesting, John, because they really have to figure him out if he really is the future this season. And Fitz is better than him, but Fitz is not the future. So they're going to put him out there, and they're going to find out, should we draft one? And I think they're going to be in a tremendous position to draft one. I would draft one anyway. I wouldn't need to know about Rosen. Let it work itself out when you have both of them on the roster. But I think most GMs and people that evaluate talent want to know what they have and then make the decision. So I think you'll see Rosen on the field, and Sam Darnold is playing no matter what, and Josh Allen's playing no matter what, but Rosen's the guy. And then down in Washington, your whole point about the Ohio State kid, the listeners that I have call in to me about Redskin fans, they want to see the young kid now. And I don't know how much pressure that will put on the club to play him, but if you think your team is in that stage, you might as well put him out there. And if he's the right guy, boy, you have a window to go build that team up. So I play him early, and I think he will play early.
With salaries going up the way they are and the difficulty of getting guys to second deals and third deals and all that, what right now do you think is a legitimate window for a team that has a quarterback and is trying to at least get to the Super Bowl and stay in the Super Bowl?
Well, I'll quote my father, if there's doubt, there's no doubt, which is if you're trying to talk yourself into, well, he's going to be good, or, you know, we can see that down the road, this guy's going to be, I think you're already in trouble. It has to be clear and obvious that you've got a gem. And then the second you can extend him, I would do it. Now, that doesn't mean they'll do it. They all understand how this works. We can't even get Drew Locke to come in Denver, which is ridiculous considering. And I'll ask you about that in a second. But I just think if you get one, well, Russell again. So what'd you have? You had a 3 or 4 year window when he first came in the league and you built your team. And now you got him on a deal that, you know, this guy's a winner and he could take you to another Super Bowl. So you get another 4 or 5 years. And then after that, you got to, you know, you take a look at everything that's going on. But so a good one is a 10-year shot in my mind with maybe two ways to get. And now the Giants are a good example. Eli has gone through, I think, 3 full sets of receivers on his way. Peyton Manning went through 2 full sets of receivers in Indianapolis. Tom Brady, I don't know how many times can you count the guys that he's had to throw to, but so you can make something happen to a Super Bowl run, I'd say at least two times if you have one of those gem quarterbacks, maybe three runs. So that's the game that has to be played. And if you don't have that guy, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
they can say whatever they want. Not happening.
Where do you put the Seahawks right now in this second phase of building up the roster, trying to get back to the Super Bowl?
I think they're a playoff team again. That's where I see them. Russell's that good. Now, I don't think they're ready for the Super Bowl run. If you and I went back, and I'm sure you've done it already, counted the number of really good players they had in the Super Bowl run, the two-year run, let's call that number seven. You know, seven guys that were exceptional. Well, they don't have that yet. And they're probably in the three to four range, but they're not far off, and the quarterback will get them back there again. You know, Pete, he figured this game out after the quarterback. He also figured out put young guys out there early, give them something they can do, and then grow on that and develop that. Don't be afraid to play the young ones. Don't get caught with a bunch of older guys, and I think he knows how to do that. And Belichick just was never going to let these guys upset his salary cap. So you see good players leave. Chandler Jones, he's not going to break the bank for guys. He just feels like, I got Brady, I'll just keep working. I'll develop guys. He does that. He handpicks some free agents, but he doesn't spend a lot of money outside of Gilmore. He's not running trying to buy a Super Bowl with veterans.
Where would you put Russell Wilson in the hierarchy of quarterbacks?
Top five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it bounces back and forth. I mean, you know, his weapons fluctuates. I'm a little interested to see how it goes without Doug Baldwin this year. But as a player, leader, and the wide range of things you can do with him, he's a top five guy for me. Do you see him that way?
Yes, I do. And it's funny because what I do every year is that, and I still have kept, and maybe I'm clinging too long to it, but I'm not changing, is that I always have Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers either one or two, with Ben Roethlisberger being three, the quarterback that's the MVP being four, so that means it'll be Patrick Mahomes for 1 year as Cam Newton, for 1 year as Matt Ryan, and then I either have Drew Brees or Russell Wilson, depending who has the better year, at five or six.
Yeah, you know, I'm not down on Aaron Rodgers, but I think he's been gifted the number one spot for too long, and it's easy to put his name there. No one's going to argue with you or fight you on that, but I look at him as, I'm going to move him down until further notice, and I really am anxious to see how that relationship works with that coach. Aaron's not a guy, in my mind, who's going to sit there and say, yeah, let's run the ball. He's not going to be that way. He's not going to be like Russell. Russell's performance last year and how unselfish he is and buying into the way they wanted to play and reducing his throws, but maximizing his throws with touchdowns. His ratio of attempts to touchdowns was extraordinary. But how many guys, John, this is the question I ask myself a lot, how many of these elite quarterbacks, Breeze does it to a certain degree, but how many of them have that team loyalty that Russell had to that formula? Because I think the Packers would love to have that formula, but will their quarterback go by that formula?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I mean, because again, you know, he wants to audible Aaron Rodgers, and Matt LaFleur doesn't want audibles. They're going to have to sort that out. Let's go through the NFC West right now. The Rams, of course, are still going to be favored. They're probably still going to win the division. But how much of a drop-off do you think there's going to be with Todd Gurley's arthritic knee, losing two starters on the offensive line, and then having Cooper Kupp come off the ACL injury?
I think Kupp will be fine. My attitude on ACLs has changed quite a bit over the last 10 years, and the recovery rates and the success rates of recovery are good enough that I don't worry about him. And they may take it slow for a while, but I think he'll get back to who he is, and that'll be important for them. They love being an 11 personnel, and they love being a three-wide team. Sean probably has taken a hard look at his own philosophy after the Super Bowl game. I think he's been pretty introspective on that. But the two offensive linemen, I think that will hurt. I think the Gurley situation is, you and I will see it pretty quickly. If he can't play a full workload and he won't be able to, I don't believe. They're not going to be the team they were. And the Sue situation, it's easy. Oh, Sue didn't play very hard all year. Well, you know what? He was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an immovable object at times. And when he wants to turn it on, he's like a tremendous force. But so the two linemen, Sue and the running back, I think Seattle, of the teams that are available to challenge them, have moved closer to them. Seattle, to me, has got an arrow pointing up. And I think for the Rams, I wouldn't put an arrow down, but I put a flat arrow right there.
Yeah.
I don't worry about their quarterback. I think he's fine. But, you know, he just got over what I call Super Bowl scrutiny, and that'll go away.
Would you agree that San Francisco and Jacksonville are the two teams that can probably improve their record the most?
Yeah, I think Jacksonville, just because of Foles, they'll be right in the picture. Although I just was doing the South. It's quite an impressive division right now. And there's challenges everywhere. No one talks about Tennessee, but they, and Mariota's the reason, but they play pretty good defense down there. They run the ball. The Colts, I think, are the team to beat. Houston, still, you know, with Watson overcoming 60-some-odd sacks and still throwing 26 touchdowns, I think, to 9 interceptions. So Jacksonville will improve. And basically when you ask me about the 49ers, you're asking me about Garoppolo. And really none of us, we all think we know, and we all would like to believe that the money the 49ers paid him was worth it. But he really hasn't proven it. And we'll see how he does when he goes 16 games and he has to deal with Pete Carroll twice. And he has to deal with Wade Phillips twice. We'll just see how it goes. I do like the way they're getting retooled here, but I'm more intrigued honestly by teams like Denver. To me, I think Denver is a team that's just, and Atlanta. So I like those two teams as no one's talking about them, and I think they got enough to be making noise all the way into December.
Yeah, it's funny because I know I was asked this yesterday, of the 8 new head coaches, who do you think is going to make the biggest impact? And I think right now it could be Vic Fangio, because Fangio was able to come over. He was able to get Mike Munchak on the offensive line. John Elway was able to get him Joe Flacco at quarterback, and I think they have a really good coaching staff.
I do, too. I'm very close with Eddie Donatell, a secondary coach. You know, a point was made yesterday about them and Vic and Jimmy Miller, who does the Bears pre- and post-game, he's there all the time. He said, look, Vic played great defense last year in Chicago, and he really did not have the pass rushes he has in Denver. It'll be so interesting to see what he's going to do with Von Miller and Chubb and his ability to get upfield and not take some, you know, blitzing risks and everything else. So even as Chicago's defense was terrific last year, and the secondary was very good, kind of a no-name group, nothing big, spectacular, Prince Amukamara and those guys. But I think he's got more tools in Denver with the way he thinks and the way he coaches, and the offense is going to produce. I'd go on a limb and say they're probably good for another 7 points a game, maybe 6 points a game, with a better defense personnel-wise. I think they could be dangerous football team.
Finally, what do you make of the Arizona Cardinals and the air raid offense?
Well, it's a great experiment. It's been attempted before. It's been, you know, I look at Andy Reid and think of how fast he just changed his offense, what Baltimore did when they put Lamar on the field. There is a place for, and it's not a series and it's not a scheme. It's like you can make your offense this stuff as long as you have enough quarterbacks behind it. I think Baltimore realized that, and they got themselves three guys. So if one goes down, they can stay with the offense. If you have to get out of the offense due to an injury and go to something traditional and you haven't taken a lot of reps in it, I think then you're asking – that's when you can get yourself in some trouble. Arizona, you know, the offensive line issues, I think the kid will be running for his life a little bit. I think he'll have a lot of razzle and dazzle early. As soon as the NFL defensive guys understand where he wants to go, they'll start to take things away from him in rush lanes and everything else. He is not Russell Wilson when it comes to calculated escape runs. Russell doesn't take risks. Russell's really smart. We all know that. But this kid will cut. I've watched him in Oklahoma escape and cut back into the flow thinking I'm faster than them. And those kind of guys get hurt. So I don't want that to happen to him. But and I think the offense, the time has come that you should be able to get a job in this league. Remember when you could only get a job if you said you knew the West Coast offense of Bill Walsh? Yeah. Well, those days are over. But you can get a job now if you run this stuff. But no one's won a Super Bowl really doing it. And keeping your guy on the field is the next challenge, which I think in the NFL is a tougher challenge for these guys.
Pat Kerwin, it's great to have you here on Schooled with the Professor. And, of course, Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin will be coming here for Sunday or so in August. We're looking forward to seeing that. And, of course, you can hear them both every day. And, of course, you want to get on the camp tour. That's 12 to 4 West Coast, 3 to 7 East Coast on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Pat, thanks for joining us.
Always, John. It's great to hear your voice. And I can't wait to be sitting there in Seattle talking about everything under the sun around the league, and we'll have to share some notes.
That'll be great. Now, of course, I will see you at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Absolutely, my friend. Good luck.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.